Hosted by Claudio Cortez, this is Modern Macho, a gentleman's exploration and guide to being a man in today's society.
Welcome back to Modern Macho. This is your host, Claudio Cortez. As usual, with me is the one, the only, Sir Cedric Liggins. Sir Cedric, how are you today?
I am amazing, Claudio Cortez. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Gosamos. Thank you, life in general.
Life is good.
Life is good. Life
I'd
is really
say.
Good.
So, and of then, course, we have our third. Wouldn't be in a golf match without a foursome, so, Marcos.
Marco. Excuse me?
I knew this would happen at some point. So, Marco, what's going on? How are you?
I'm a little upset now.
You should be.
You should be.
How long have you known me?
A couple days.
A couple days? It's messed up. We've known each other for years. Like 10 years.
It's felt like a lifetime.
You call me the wrong name.
He's known me longer, in his defense.
Who's that voice? Who's that voice?
Hey, what's that voice?
Who is that? What is that? Oh, that's our guest.
It's actually Marcos. Marcos Carvajal. Marcos, how are you today?
Doing well.
Awesome.
Not to be confused with Marco Castro.
Junior. It's MC. Come on. You can't blame me here.
It's true. We are MCs.
MCs. Yeah,
see, I'm
it's a good
MAC,
name
though.
In any form.
I'd say. So why don't you let the boys and girls of the internet, Marcos, let us know who you are and what's your deal?
Yeah. My name is Marcos Carvajal, or Marcos Carvajal.
Hi, Marcos.
However you want to pronounce it. I'm a lifelong Pilsen native. And my family actually owns Carnitas Uruapan restaurant in Pilsen.
Is that a new restaurant?
It's been around since 1975. Mm.
So what exactly are carnitas?
Carnitas are the most delicious. Come on. You know this, Claudio.
I know, but the kids on the internet,
it's
you
the
know.
Internet. It's the most web. Magical pork dish you've ever tasted.
I'm going to go ahead and say that's a fact.
I'm going to go ahead and say hashtag lap dance in your mouth.
I think I like that one better. Yeah, that's yeah. It's a mouth lap dance.
Yeah, don't say it wrong. Just lap dance in your mouth.
I like mouth lap dance. Okay.
And no one's ever gonna use that.
I use it. I'm not knowing Marcos. Marco.
Again. Come on, man. I'm just gonna walk out of this.
Just gonna call you Tony.
Then you're gonna confuse the people.
But you know the lap dance better be from like a woman.
No, it's from a carnitas.
It's just a very sexy flavor pig.
You know,
it's the pig dancing in your mouth with it's shaking it all up in there, just shaking it.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're sorry, Marcos. the pig lap dance. We just got it was a tangent.
Visual.
Right. It was I was totally caught up in it. So 1975.
Sorry, you guys couldn't see what just happened. It was awesome.
Right. 1975. Pilsen born native, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Pilsen born native. So my dad started Carnitas Uruapan restaurant in Pilsen in 75, and it's one of those places that, you know, has just kind of achieved a cult-like following over the years.
I'd say legendary status.
Legendary status, you say?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say that because, quite frankly, they're the greatest carnitas I've ever had.
Whoa.
And that's just not because he's in front of me.
I mean, I feel like we should have had some here tonight.
It's too late for carnitas. What's wrong
with you? It's never too late for carnitas.
You're not going to sleep. You're going to
tell you what, you guys
got
to come by this Sunday.
Sleep.
Sunday. I think so. Yeah, we should have a Modern Macho get together.
Yeah, I like it.
Is it BYOB?
Yeah.
Well, boys and girls, I think we found a field trip. So today's show, boys and girls, is about these magical things that actually wind up making us the men that we are today. Choices. Whether it be the choices of our fathers, that could be a little man in Jalisco coming to Mexico, coming to the United States from Mexico in 1972. It could be, you know, any of our ancestors. Everyone made choices, and essentially we're all the result of choices of the people before us. And today, we're going to talk about choices. Anything you want to add to that, a little intro?
Yeah, Claude. We've had a number of very special guests. We've had we've talked to many great people, many amazing men who have kind of struggled, you know, through trying to find who they are, you know, trying to find their own particular identity. And that struggle was basically what choices they made, were making, and choices that they want to make. You know, shout out to Tyler Spaulding, Roy Kinsey. Man, even DJ West, who decided not to
pursue college education.
Didn't do college education, decided he didn't want it, and he decided to do his own freelance DJ thing, you know, straight from there. He wanted it. He wants to open his own bar. That's amazing. Roy Kinsey, who made a conscious choice to be an openly gay black rapper, you know, and I don't know if you would even call him a rapper.
No, he's a rapper.
Yeah.
Have you listened to the album, Beautiful Only?
Beautiful Only, I did.
It's a pretty good album.
It is.
And then, of course, we have Tyler Spaulding, a NASA rocket scientist who decided to quit being a rocket scientist and have a startup.
And even Marco
even
Castro
our very
Jr.
own Marco Castro
had made that particular choice, you know, at an early age too, you know, to do something way out there. Not even
very,
really.
Yeah, I mean, coming from the all boys private school that we went to. Yes, that's essentially way out there. Especially coming up as a Mexican guy.
Want to enlighten us a little bit? Enlighten the internet. For those of us who didn't hear the last podcast episodes you've been on?
I made a choice. I was like 18 to just completely change, you know, what I was studying, what I was doing, where my path was taking me. And that was to leave college when I was studying 3D animation and video production. You know, going from high school to that, just not really having a path, just thinking I should go to college because that's what you're supposed to do. Wasn't happy, and I just saw a future of just no excitement, no passion, nothing really for me that I wanted, and I decided to take a step back and just kind of see what made me happy. And I have been cutting hair for a while, since I was 13, just, you know, tapers, fades, blowouts, doing men's hair just for fun, paid my cell phone bill, but I didn't realize how much I'd fallen in love with it, and I decided to pursue doing hair with not knowing anything about it. There was no one in my family does it. There was no one I knew that did hair. Just first generation. Everything I learned was on my own. And it's led me to a lot of great things. Traveling, to teaching, to being a director of a salon, to so many things.
Yeah.
We are the choices that we make.
Exactly.
And so that's the theme for this
show.
And
that's the theme today. And I think we have a very apt guest for that.
Marcos. Please enlighten us on your choices and what makes you and why you're here today.
Yeah, you're right. There are definitely, you know, points in the road where you make a choice, you know, that really you consciously make a choice and you know it's going to lead you to something drastically different.
Mm-hmm.
For me, just to give you guys some more backstory about me, you know, I was born and raised in Pilsen.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was growing up there, before it was kind of the up-and-coming neighborhood that it is now.
Oh, yeah.
You have a subway.
I always wanted to be you know, one of those business people that get on the train, you know, wear a suit every day, and you know, bring a briefcase with them and go to work downtown and, you know, work in those big, tall buildings and, you know, work with things that had to do with financial markets and finance, and that's, you know, that's what I always looked up to from the time I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, started guiding my choices. At the time I went to the University of Michigan, got an economics and a Spanish degree, and, you know, just started pursuing that dream, just going after it. After college, I started working for Northern Trust.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I've been for the last 6.5 years.
Oh, wow. Wow. And so are you still at Northern Trust, or what's
I
going on there?
I just gave him my 2 weeks notice last Friday.
Holy
another
crap.
Another choice?
Yeah.
Yeah, another choice. And so what's down the rabbit hole for Marcos?
Down the rabbit hole for me is returning to Pilsen.
Uh-huh.
And working with my family and looking to really grow our business at Carnitas Uruapan and expand our presence and really, you know, try to bring what we make, which is a very, you know, very unique dish within Mexican food. It's something that might seem, you know, second nature to a lot of people around Pilsen, because they're, you know, they're used to having that type of food.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really by far a lot less known outside of our community, and my idea is to really you know, take that business to the next level and bring that type of food to the mainstream.
Right. So what I want to do is what I would like to expose to our audience, to the internet, is I would like them to kind of understand the process of working in such a prestigious bank such as Northern Trust, you know, to go from there, to make a conscious choice to work there, you know, having what you've learned and what you've gained, you know, and all the experiences there, and then making the choice to come back to Pilsen, you know, what have you learned, you know, in your years at Northern Trust, you know, that you can actually grasp onto, hold on to, and bring it back home, you know, to Pilsen, to kind of, I want to say revive, but I don't think that's the right word. I think it's kind of like it just change or like what enlighten me at least, you know, like what are you trying to do? Like make it a little bit more new school, a little bit more modern, you know, Garnitas?
Well, I mean, just to kind of get back to your initial question, I think that, you know, you learn a lot through all of your experiences. I, you know, grew up in Pilsen and my world completely changed when I left there to go to college on my own. I was the first of my family to go to college.
Holy cow.
And that became, awesome. You know, that was a whole world I hadn't explored. And, you know, you leave that environment and you come back to your old neighborhood and you just see things differently. You know, for better or worse, you get a new perspective.
Yeah.
So you either appreciate the things you do have there, which there's a lot of things that are great, but you also see opportunities for development and for doing other things. And, you know, you just gain new perspectives in that sense. Same thing when I, you know, went to work in finance for 6 years. You know, you deal with people that are all very professional. They're very highly educated. They're very highly motivated people. And you're surrounded by that environment all the time. And you tend to elevate your game and rise to the occasion.
Yeah.
And you within yourself develop, you know, an efficient way of seeing things, you know, a different attitude towards problem solving. And you just start to see, you know, the bigger picture of things. What I feel that I can bring back to my family's business when I come back is that I want to approach it with a mentality of growing it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, there's a lot of potential there for what we do. And I feel that I can, you know, now look at things, you know, in a much more big picture mentality and look at opportunities for growth and finding new markets for our food and finding right. ways to market to different groups of people
right.
that aren't familiar with Garnitas and what we do and how it's a whole craft. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot more to it than meets the eye.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds very interesting. So what?
Transformers.
I had to.
What do you envision plug. Essentially as the approach that would kind of take Garnitas from Pilsen to the rest of, I mean, how do you sell Garnitas to a white person?
Well, that's not necessarily. See, that's another thing.
Wait, but first, if white people do listen to this podcast.
I mean, okay, that being said, being a very, very ultra-traditional Mexican food.
Right. What is?
Well, garden? First of all, I mean, there's a whole market for it beyond just, you know, Pilsen in that neighborhood.
Yeah, obviously.
You look to the city of Chicago, and what we've experienced is, you know, it was started in 1975.
Mm-hmm.
We've now got people that, you know, their grandfather took them there, and they'd go and get carnitas from my dad. 38 years later, and they're bringing in their kids.
Mm-hmm.
We're now on the second, third generation of customers there. And most of the people that come to our restaurant on the weekends, I mean, there's a line out the door every weekend. Most of them aren't even locally from Pilsen anymore. It's mm-hmm. that whole diaspora of people
yeah.
that have, you know, moved out west into the surrounding suburbs.
Yeah.
I believe there's over 900,000 Mexican-Americans or people of Mexican heritage in the Chicago area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a whole market in and of itself.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, but with them, you have the whole nostalgia aspect.
Nostalgia.
Which I completely understand, and you know, we at Gosamos tend to use that to our advantage sometimes. But I guess what kind of like struggles do you anticipate in introducing it to a wider audience?
It's not the healthiest food.
Well, I obviously, but it's so goddamn good.
It is.
It's
It is so good. And it'll kill
I
you.
Think for me the challenge is no, it's a couple things. It's not the healthiest food, so you need to kind of just get that out of the way. But
that's what the nabatas are for.
That's right. That's your vegetable, if you can even call that a vegetable. But aside from that, there's a lot more to it than meets the eye. When you think of carnitas, you refer to it commonly as that, like, oh, carnitas taco. But there's a whole lot under the surface there. You can have tacos de buche, tacos de costilla, tacos de cueritos. There's a whole different, subset of that. A lot of different, different cuts of meat that you can order.
Mm-hmm.
There's
mm-hmm.
a lot more complexity to that. And it's, that might seem second nature to you and I to go and ask for those specific things.
But of course.
It's trying to really get the message out about that and trying to get that out to a wider audience and get them to, just give that a shot. Give that type of food, a shot. And there's a lot more awareness about it now than I think there's ever been, arguably. A lot of people have had it.
Yeah.
But we do it in a pretty unique way that's, true to the authentic version of it in Mexico. So it's trying to get people to want to have that authentic experience with that dish.
Fascinating.
Interesting. Actually, just one more question off of that. I've never actually looked it up. So where exactly did carnitas originate in Mexico?
There's a big debate, and I think people from these different cities in Mexico kind of argue about it. Yeah. It's some say it's from Uruapan, from our hometown. Others say it's from a town called Quiroga in Michoacan. And there's
these are both towns in Michoacan.
Towns in Michoacan, yeah.
Right.
And there's a whole debate there about, who had the first ones and which ones are better.
Yeah, it's like Los Jaliscienses and Arbidia.
Yeah.
It's from Ocotlán, or it doesn't exist. So you
tortas ahogadas. Wait, I got a question real quick.
Mm-hmm.
How did your path lead to you coming back to the restaurant?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you had a pretty successful, finance career. And how does one decide, speaking of choices, what's the inherent choice that you make that leads you from finance to family business?
Yeah, seems day and night.
Yeah,
it is day and night. But, I'll tell you, I was, in a finance career, working my way up the ladder. And I felt that as I was going along, I felt that there was a whole side of me that I wasn't really utilizing for a lot day to day. I feel like, my identity, and I'm sure you guys can all relate, is, one of two cultures. There's the Mexican side of me, and then there's the American side of me. And although, those two sides kind of coexist.
Mm-hmm.
In a formal business setting, I wasn't using any of my Spanish skills. I wasn't using any of that knowledge that I'd built up just growing up in Pilsen, interacting with my parents, learning how to make carnitas and learning all about that food. That just wasn't being used, and I'd find myself constantly going back to Pilsen, helping out my parents in any way I could,
mm-hmm.
Going there for lunch from the Loop whenever I could get a chance to escape, and
right.
Just seeing there's that whole other world outside of working downtown in a finance environment. And I found that's really, that's really what I wanted to focus on, was finding what made me really happy at the end of the day, that I felt like, it doesn't feel like work anymore. When you go to work. And as I'd get more and more involved with my family's business, just during my downtime and on the weekends, mm-hmm. I found that I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed being in the neighborhood. I enjoyed interacting with people.
Yeah.
I enjoyed having people share in that experience with us of the food that we make.
Mm-hmm.
That's again, fascinating. One of my favorite words of the day.
Apparently.
It's just fascinating. I'm sorry. He's a fascinating man. And we don't have boring people on this show, save for one. And I'm not looking at Claudio. Before we started the actual podcast, we were sitting down and we were just having a discussion, drinking amazing Five Rabbits beer.
The best beer in all of Chicago.
Beer.
Made in Chicago. Locally sourced ingredients with a Latino flair.
Yum. So we... in your financial world, you're working at Northern Trust. I'm pretty sure with that, like you said, that really kind of elevated environment. What what skills have you learned in a, from the financial district, you know, that you could bring to Garnitas, you know?
Well, there's a couple of things I feel that are helpful and a few things that aren't. I feel that, you know, I definitely became a very, you know, outgoing, outgoing person that, you know, proactively like looks to solve problems and, you know, follows up everything that I start and, you know, just has a sense of urgency. You kind of need to have that if you're going to be in any professional environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that, you know, when you're surrounded by people like that, you know, you tend to start behaving in the same way. So everything starts to become kind of fast paced. You know, everything's moving quickly. You're making decisions, you're executing. That can help me in, you know, a business environment. You know, just in general, if you're going to be running your own business or looking to grow an organization, you need to be self-motivated and self-starting.
Yeah.
And you need to constantly be looking for ways to improve what you're doing and, you know, better ways to reach your market.
Awesome.
And just better ways to, you know, kind of look at things you've done in the past and really analyze them and look at not everything is set in stone.
Yeah.
What I feel, you know, you don't get in working in a corporate environment is you don't get that entrepreneurial aspect. You know, things are kind of all laid out for you. You're a cog within a greater machine.
Right.
And you just, you know, you kind of go through and you perform your function and that's where your tasks kind of end.
Right.
A lot different if you're an entrepreneur. I mean, you've got to be a jack of all trades. You've got to be on top of everything and nothing's going to happen unless you go out there and you make it happen and you, you know, pave the way for yourself to grow a business and expand and do well.
Yeah.
That's kind of an instinct, you know, it can't really be taught.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Dude, I love that metaphor.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love the cog in a greater machine. You know, that's
you're serving
totally
a
true.
Purpose.
Yeah.
And it's very defined what that is.
You're a part of something bigger. You know, bigger, you know, but you're just limited to that one part, you know. But whereas you're an entrepreneur, you are that, you know, entity.
You are the turning, you're the big wheel.
We talked about your past. We talked about what you're doing. You have your 2 weeks notice, and then you're going to become the GM of Garnitas.
Yeah, there's a bit of a story behind that, too.
More story time.
Well, I, you know, since getting a college education, you know, it's been obviously very important for me. I really couldn't go into finance without it. But
yeah,
as I was really looking to find the next opportunity for myself, I decided that, you know, I wanted to advance my education and go back to school and you know, learn some more.
Yeah.
And I just got word about 2 weeks ago that I've been accepted to the Kellogg School of Management.
Holy
at Northwestern
crap.
University.
Wow.
Wait,
and they're well aware of my plan.
Wait, hold on. No, no way. The Kellogg School?
I think at some point there should be a book in your future. You know, just 18th Street to Kellogg.
Yeah,
that should be the title.
Street Pilsenite to Kellogg. You know, it's because we're making fun of you, but
I'm not making fun of you.
I am.
I was actually really proud of him.
Oh, I'm not.
I'm quite
whatever.
Proud. I mean,
what? Who does this guy think he is? Is he gonna like bottom to the top? I mean, come on, is he Drake?
No, I think it's.
I just want to sell some tacos to a
lot
of people.
I just want to sell.
I just want to sell the best carnitas out there.
That's amazing. So, how can Kellogg help you?
I mean, it comes down to school in general. It's not just about what you learn in classes. It just goes beyond that.
Yeah.
Anytime you're put in an environment with other people that are, you know, outgoing and motivated and they're all working to better themselves, good things are going to come of it.
Yeah.
So the big thing that I'm looking to do there is surround myself with people that, you know, can serve as advisors, that can help me grow that concept, really help me take that idea that was, you know, born in Pilsen in 1975.
Mm-hmm.
Into something much bigger and bring that to the mainstream. You know,
right.
Hopefully there'll be a day when carnitas will be available just as easily as burritos are, just about, you know, everywhere you go.
Yeah.
And why
yeah.
not? There's enough of a presence of, you know, people that like to eat that yeah. food.
Yeah, especially, you know, given the current, you know, economic shifts that are still in progress, the fact that, you know, the Latino market is expanding ever rapidly on a daily basis, it seems.
Latinos in general.
Yeah. And people love street food. I mean, who doesn't like a good taco? Who doesn't like tamales, like, you know, real deal stuff? Who doesn't like birria?
I haven't met anybody.
I want to go back to Mexico now.
And, you know, you take it for granted, but we have some of the best food in Pilsen. I mean, you go to every street corner and you can get, you know, elotes and mangoes and champurrado in the winter.
Yeah.
You can't do that in the Loop.
Yeah, no, I
know. You get arrested.
How is that?
That's that point.
But there's a lot of good stuff, a lot of good food there that a lot of people don't know about.
Yeah, I think I'd like to say that I'm going to just point out that I think Chicago probably has the best Mexican food outside of Mexico. I think that's a safe point to make, judging by the shit I've eaten in different states in this fine country of ours and Canada.
Can we just boycott carne asada and just switch it with carnitas?
I'm down for that.
I'm down. Beef down, pork up.
Yeah.
Oh, you should copyright that, dude.
I think we have.
That sounds like my next Facebook post.
Oh, dude, that's totally great. That is the name of this show right now. I think
that's the first modern macho T-shirt.
We need shirts.
Yeah. Let's cheers to that.
Cheers to that.
Yeah, cheers, Marcos.
That's the one. I need a beef down pork up.
Yeah. Seriously. Really cool.
Can it be like the Chivas and America one with like
peeing
on the pork? the
That's a T-shirt?
It's a soccer shirt.
It's a soccer shirt, you know, because there's a really amazing soccer team called Los Guadalajara Chivas.
Might have heard of them.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Wait, are you a Monarcas fan, or was your father a Monarcas fan, or is he into soccer?
No, man, he's not a big sports fan at all.
He's a carnitas fan. Just that's all the tacos.
Neutral.
Yeah,
be neutral. Take a neutral right now.
Yeah. I was raised in a very pro Chivas house.
Yeah,
Which isn't a bad thing. It's fun to watch. Well, Marcos, it sounds like you have a lot of really cool stuff ahead of you, and we really do look forward to hearing from you in the future. And you know, if you want to come back on the show,
love to
give us a chat. Maybe we could host something from Carnitas Uruapan.
Awesome.
There you go.
We do location stuff sometimes, but that's neither here nor there. So when we started the show, we kind of came up with a very cheeky question to ask all of our guests. It's a fun question to ask people.
It's a beautiful question.
Yeah, it's one of two. The first one being, what's the manliest thing you've ever done?
Done. He was a rugby player, you know.
Thing I've ever done.
Headbutted somebody. I don't know. What?
I don't know.
I think the manliest thing I've ever done.
I think I single-handedly got in a bar fight on spring break with 10 frat boys and took them all down.
Yeah.
In Cancun.
Oh, that doesn't count.
Wait, so you're a Mexican and you went to Cancun?
For spring break.
Yes.
White girls.
Well,
I mean, white girls. I agree with that point.
Okay, very valid.
Trust me, I've been all over other parts of Mexico.
Let's not get the man in trouble. Well, that sounds pretty badass. We had a guy tell us that he fought a bear once.
You fought a bear?
No, ever. Chris and Vera told us he fought a bear.
Wait, which bear did he fight? Was it black, brown, polar?
I'm pretty sure.
No, honestly, I think he was outside of the International Mr. Leather Conference. Got into a bar fight with the bear.
He was a little confused on what he was doing.
I told him I don't think they were wrestling.
And then the second question that we always like to end the show on is, since Cedric and I were in kindergarten, we've always had this argument that upon further analysis, kind of really concludes the kind of man that you essentially are. So we ask this question: are you James Bond or Batman?
James Bond or Batman?
Yeah.
So are you a rich playboy with a bunch of toys, or selfless secret agent with a flair for?
I mean, it goes
hot women and nice cars.
I mean, essentially, at the end of the day, they kind of both have the same power as far as superheroes are concerned. They're both guys with unlimited resources and money, and they save the world. But they do it differently, obviously.
Yeah.
And so, who are you?
I'd have to say James Bond, because he doesn't hide his face.
Thank you, sir.
That's a unique answer I've never heard.
Yeah, no, we've heard, you know, oh, James Bond wears awesome suits. Oh, he has a badass car. Oh, James Bond gets the bitches. And then we've heard the Batman answers. What were the Batman answers, Sir Cedric?
Batman is, he's his own boss. He is an assassin. He shoots flamethrowers. He has a flamethrower in his car.
I heard that one once.
Which one?
He gets the Bane Catwoman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so we've heard all sorts of interesting answers, and I think, Marcos, you gave the right answer today.
Batman, well, James Bond doesn't love anybody. All right? And the people he does love, they get killed in the same movie.
Yeah,
you know, same movie.
You know, like, usually within, like, 15 seconds. So,
sir,
like,
did you really just try to use love as an argument?
Get over yourself.
What do you...
James Bond doesn't love anybody? I mean, come on. I love you, but James Bond doesn't love anybody?
Oh, come on. Anyway.
That's
the stupidest. He doesn't have anybody. That's the stupidest retort you've ever given.
He doesn't have anybody.
He loves that old lady.
Live with that choice.
He loves live
with that choice.
No, he doesn't.
You just give a shitty answer.
No, he doesn't. Vespa? He loved Vespa, but
Vesper.
Oh,
Vespa's a bike.
So Vespa, then it broke down.
Then it broke down.
So, kinda Marcos, like, if the boys and girls of the internet would like to sample carnitas or go to just an amazing carnitas restaurant.
You know how Claudio knows that I'm about to get in a rant and totally shut down your entire argument when he changes the subject while I'm talking.
Aww,
so go ahead.
Cry,
smooth
buddy.
Transition.
Yeah,
I think it was smooth.
It's
pretty slick.
I'm gonna call it out. Go ahead, keep going.
That's getting edited.
And edit how I feel.
So Marcos,
edit that.
Firstly, can we find you on the internet?
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, as well as our website,
which is
CarnitasUruapanShy.com.
Okay. And if
and
you want to find you on Facebook, it's...
It's just Carnitas Uruapan as well. You search that, it'll pop right up.
Yes.
It's the handle for Twitter is at Uruapan Carnitas. And then for Instagram, it's pretty easy if you type the name in, but I believe it's also Carnitas Uruapan Shy. And, you know, if you ever have any questions, I... You know, respond all through all those mediums. If you ever want to know, hey, it's 5 o'clock. Do you still have carnitas? Are you running out?
Uh-huh. Is that an issue?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's an issue.
Yeah.
A lot of people think that, you know, after 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, we run out or we're not going to have the freshest carnitas or, you know, it's the carnitas from earlier in the day.
Yeah.
That's what it's like in Mexico. You know, they cook one pig in the morning. As soon as that's done, they're done for the day. We have carnitas coming out every 2.5 hours starting at 7 a.m. So what I've started doing is on social media, at when the last batch comes out on the weekends, I post a picture of it at 2:30 and just say, hey, this is the last batch, fresh, come and get it. We're open till 6. And if it finishes before then, I'll go ahead and post that it's gone.
Oh, wow. Look at that. I hear you guys have some pretty cool incentives as far as social media is concerned. Anything you'd like to clue us in on?
Yeah, we've got a couple things. We've got a Secret Word Wednesday promo that we do every Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
We'll post a secret word. Usually has something to do with Hispanic culture in general. So usually some type of cultural reference.
Mm-hmm.
We'll post that secret word on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
If you come in on Wednesday, you get 2-for-1 tacos that day for mentioning the secret word.
Oh, snap.
This week's secret word is... Mexican singer Pedro Infante.
And if you need a clue as to who Pedro Infante is, just look at the Modern Macho logo. Well, hey, man, it was a pleasure.
Yeah.
Wait, what was that?
Yeah, and there's one more
thing
I wanted to tell you guys about. We also do this thing called chicharrón check-ins.
Oh, gosh.
Oh,
it sounds delicious.
So anytime you're there and you check in on Facebook, we'll bring you a plate of chicharrones.
Nice.
Neat.
What is chicharrones?
Oh, you might know them as pig skins.
Oh,
it's kind of like it's kind of like pork rinds, but
it's
way more.
What's
delicious.
The difference?
It's the type of texture that it has and the type of skin, pork skin that it's made from. Chicharrones are a lot thicker and crispier,
they're denser.
And they're a lot more meaty.
Yeah,
pork rinds are, you know, there's no meat on them. They're a lot more bland and tasteless.
I'm gonna agree with you there. Because you have to put hot sauce on pork rinds. Chicharrones you can eat by themselves.
I agree.
Any closing remarks, Mr. Liggins?
Other than, I just want to thank our audience and our subscribers for listening. I want to thank Gosamas.com for hosting the show. I want to thank Claudio. I want to thank Marco. And I want to thank Marcos for such a such a great conversation and definitely a really good topic. And for the chicharrones that I will be having on a Sunday.
Yeah, you guys, are welcome to stop by on Sunday. Everyone is, all the listeners.
A todos.
Yeah, absolutely. Marco, Castro, anything you'd like to say?
No, just make your choices, live with them, enjoy life, and do whatever makes you happy.
You had a good point.
Yeah.
You have to do what makes you happy.
Our happiness first.
Yeah. And everything else will work out.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I like your mentality. Very, very, very positive mindset. I like it. We could use more of it generally in culture. Well, boys and girls, that is all the time we have for today. So to quote the great Hank Williams, if the good Lord's willing and the creeks don't rise, we will see y'all before long. Goodbye. Cuando el reloj marca las 9, los esqueletos cogen al que bebe. Cuando el reloj marca las 10, los esqueletos bailan en un pie. Chumba la cachumba la cachumba mba. Chumba la cachumba la cachumba mba. Chumba la cachumba la cachumba mba. Chumba la cachumba la cachumba mba.